Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to this next episode where we're going to talk about one or two techniques is not going to cut it. Let's talk about that a little bit with some elaboration. So, you know, there's some pretty cool things that you can do with horses. And thanks to social media, that's becoming more and more obvious. And you see people doing pretty cool things like teaching the horse to park in, play with footballs, all that stuff. I do it myself, and I even teach how to do that safely, sensibly, in my online training academy. But what I see happen is, you know, a lot of people, they want to cut to the fancy stuff. You know, if you want to teach your horse to sideways in and park, that's a fancy thing. That's something which actually should be the result of being an end product and not a beginning product. And what I see is people who, let's stick with that exercise for the moment, want to teach their horse to sideways over, to mount, or just sideways over as a general exercise. What they're not understanding and what they're not doing is actually teaching and making sure, as a primary exercise, cue, communication to the horse, that they can get the horse out of their space first. Remember, and I'll say this 1,000 times more until the day I leave this earth, we are magnets to horses. We spend a lot of time telling them not to be in our space, to clear our space, to not step on our toes, to walk next to us and not push with the shoulder, blah, blah, blah. So the moment we start to ask them to come into our space, this is kind of a revelation for them. It's like, oh, I can come into your space because of that magnetic feeling. But also, you can imagine if someone has been saying, no, 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 don't come in my space for years, perhaps, years on end. And now all of a sudden they're saying, you know what? You can come in. You can bet. I'm going to say, oh, really? And they might even put more effort to coming into your space. So if we're teaching something like teaching our horse to park in, I would say 70% of the exercise should be checking that you could send the horse away from you. And then the rest, the 30%, is asking them towards. So many times do I get told, oh, I was practicing that sideways towards or parking in for mounting and my horse just pushes me off the block or pushes me off the shoulder or comes over the top of me or knocks me off the block, all of these things. And that is simply because the human, as a direct line thinking species, is only thinking about the end product. They're not thinking about all of the little increments and pieces in order to explain it to the horse in a good way. So if the horse is coming towards me and it presents its shoulder, I'm going to say, away, and now one step over, but please do not bring your shoulder. If I ask the horse over and it comes over the block and literally knocks me off, then I'm going to be practicing quite a bit of a way, away, away. The horse already knows how to come over, and don't think that by asking them to go away, 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 you're going to knock that out of them. Absolutely not. It's just what you're doing is you're setting some ground rules. You're saying, please, you're a big animal. Don't knock me off the block. Don't push me with your shoulder. Don't push me with your nose. Please, pretty please. Have some little rules, some little blocks, some little ways to say to the horse, hey, 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 this is how I want it to look. And when they do give it to you, let them know by simply smiling and rubbing. If you overpraise, especially with exercises where you're asking the horse to come in your space, you can also potentially create a nightmare. So another thing that just entered my mind there actually is when it comes to playing with horses in this way, playing, training, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, you could be playing with a ball or teaching your horse to stand on a pedestal, cross the water, go in and out of cones to teach them slalom, whatever. People, because this is the, again, for the lack of better words, the fancy stuff, people praise the horse more and have a bigger smile on their face and a much more intensive positive energy because they're so proud of the fact that their horse has done this for them, that they overly reward, and therefore the horse gets enthusiastic. Now, just think about that for a moment, what I just said there. Imagine if you were to overly praise and be super happy and proud and give all of that positive energy to the boring stuff, as it's usually classed. The stuff where, you know, we might be asking the horse to move around, walk or trot, not necessarily super exciting, but, you know, this is the stuff where we should be overly rewarding. Oh my gosh, that's the most beautiful trot I've ever seen you do. You know, because then in that stuff right there, the more important stuff, the horse is going to start to put more effort. They're going to start to say, oh, you really see me. I tell you, I swear on it, we must be very vigilant and aware of what we are praising and what we are not praising. Any horse can sideways over. Any horse can lay down. Any horse can rear up. Any horse can half jump over a small jump. Any horse can kick a football. Any horse can stand on a pedestal. This is nothing. There's nothing much they can't do. It's just that they don't know how to do it when we are around. It's that simple. If I was to leave a horse in a paddock with a pedestal, you can bet your bottom dollar within maybe an hour or three, they're going to go over, paw that pedestal and start and maybe even stand on it. I know horses, especially in the United States, that as their shelter, they had an old trailer and the wheels were taken off and the back door was taken off and the trailer was actually their shelter. And these horses did use that shelter because the owners put hay in there. But guess what? Them horses wouldn't trailer load when their humans were around. They wouldn't go in their own trailer to travel somewhere. Horses are not stupid, you know, and they really do change when we are around. So we have to make sure, you know, for me, that's what the term natural horsemanship means. I mean, I don't use that term so often anymore because I just simply want to train horses. It doesn't have to have a name or be called a method. I just want to have all of the little best bits and put them in a pot and teach to people and over time adapt that and make it even better. But for me, natural horsemanship is really about playing, training and working with the nature of the horse and trying to find the natural inside of us in order to be able to give that back to the horse. Also to tune into the inner nature of the horse so that we are able to understand it and express that back to them. That's what natural horsemanship is to me. And when people go out of their way to really explore that and really put time and effort and energy into their study, they go quickly because it just makes so much sense because, of course, you're becoming more aware and are able to connect with the horse as a specific species. And for everybody that's not, that kind of leaves that on the back burner or doesn't at all, they do go slower. I see this and witness this every single day. So one or two techniques is not going to cut it. Please, please, please learn how to not go to the fancy stuff first and make sure you have a very good, broad understanding of what you are saying to your horse, especially when it involves inviting them to come into your space. For many years, I've had people tell me, can you teach me this and can you teach me that? It's like, no. First, we're going to look at the foundation, the basics, get them excellent, and then we can start to talk about the fancy stuff. And I've even lost students because of that, and then they've gone off with someone else, started all of the fancy stuff, like teaching the horse to bark in, and it's become an absolute disaster. You know, and the horse gets dangerous or paws at them or runs over them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, please, why is it so important that your horse does this? Is it really, you know, so important to impress your friends, to make an Instagram post? Because to me, it's not impressive. To me, it just really says, oh dear, we're missing a lot of the basics. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. I made all of those mistakes in the earlier days. I had to learn from them. So hopefully that's exactly what happens with anybody else that's doing that. But from what I witness and see, unfortunately, it is not always the case. And that's why I, you know, use the podcasts to give these messages, just simply to get people to think about what they're doing. Your horse is absolutely 150,000% a reflection of your knowledge and where it is at. That is what you are getting back in your horse. They cannot learn more if you don't know what that more is. They cannot unlearn things if you don't know that there's something to be unlearned or how to unlearn it. We cannot train them the fancy things because it's going to become dangerous quite possibly if we don't know all of the foundational and preparatory exercises in order to make it a success for both you and your horse without anybody getting hurt. It's quite a mouthful, isn't it? And you can see I speak this purely over my tongue, from my heart. It is very easy for me to explain because it is so common. So one or two techniques is not going to cut it. I know also people who, you know, they've actually succeeded in a couple of fancy things. Let's use the parking in exercise as one and maybe the Spanish step as another. And that's it. That's all they could do. Everything else is kind of mediocre at best. And now they're all of a sudden a self-proclaimed horse trainer with one horse that they've trained and the rest is not great. So come on, I really hope people are not so blinded by those kind of, situations where, I don't know, I actually lose my words because I don't want to offend people, of course. I just want to awaken people's eyes and hearts and to not try, you know. But if you can only do one or two things with your horse and the rest is mediocre at best and you're now a self-proclaimed trainer, you're going to get found out at some point. And if it's not going to be the people, it's certainly going to be a horse. I've seen many of people's egos shut down big time, to the point of tears, to the point of complete embarrassment and not seeing them for months on end, simply because they put their ego up on such a high pedestal and very quickly the horses said, your ego is way too big and guess what, Mr. or Mrs., I'm going to give you a lesson to show you exactly what you know and actually what you don't know. Horses are really good at putting our egos back into check. You know, we all have our struggles. I too, many, many hours, probably thousands of them, have had my hand on my chin. What did I do wrong there? Or buried my face in my hands with tears. Or looking for a plaster because I got a learn burn, you know, like a rope burn on my hand. And stuff like that. These are all the things we need in order to learn. We also must not avoid them because it's keeping secrets. It's not revealing the truth. But please understand that when we learn fancy stuff, it's not the be all and end all. For me, where it gets really cool with horses, or if I look at someone I think I don't know what it is they're doing, but my gosh, they're good, and it can be really with the basic stuff. It might just simply be walking with their horse, riding, or I don't know, cantering around the arena, or just come back from a trail ride. There's just something about them and the partnership and the unity they have together with their horse which is inspirational, and I want to know more. I want to know what it is that they do. Far and few, though, far and few. And for the rest, of course, there's people who do things and I think, oh, that's pretty cool. I want to know what they're doing there. But the rest, quite possibly what they're doing, I don't do. And then vice versa, you know. So we must always be open, always open to learning. I try not to be judgmental, but of course, I can't help be observational. It's my job to. And of course, if I'm looking to learn and improve myself, then of course I have to be observational. But don't mistake the two for two. Judgmental is when you're standing there staring,
oh, you shouldn't be doing it like this, you shouldn't be doing it like that.
That's judgmental. And then going off and saying to all of your friends right there while that person's there, or quite possibly behind their back, that they did this and they did that. Did you see that? That's judgmental. Okay, so one or two techniques is not going to cut it. Think about, you know, of course you can learn the fancy stuff. Of course. But really, please just think about the foundational and preparatory things that you need in place first. Try not to teach your horse the wrong things by, you know, expecting them to be able to do these fancy things when you really haven't got the full information yet or your technique down to the point where it makes sense to the horse without sending them over the top of you or into your space. And then you're already going to be halfway there, because, you know, you don't have to always be physically practicing something in order for it to get good. When we think about it and we analyze it and we break it down in our heads, exactly what we are doing, not the horse, and we really think about it, we are already going to be more successful, because we're training our mind, our brain, the motor skills in our body relayed through the brain into our nervous system to react and respond differently towards the horse. So therefore, the quality of which you are asking the horse is already going to go up a gear. So I hope that makes sense. I teach you all the fancy stuff in my online training academy. You know, I've got free access for anybody that is willing, open to learning some skills. You can have access to my general skills, my challenges, and my self-help improvement module. And of course, you have direct access to my community, where my team and myself are waiting to greet you and offer our services in answering your questions with your own horses in real life situations. So please click on the link. You can find it below this podcast and come and find us in the community, because we'd be really, really, really happy to see you there. So I'm going to call it a day there. Thanks very much for listening, and I really hope you're having a great morning, afternoon, or evening wherever you are.
You have been listening to Zoe's Horse Bites podcast. Powered by Get Good With Horses courses and online training academy by Zoe Code.